Before we start today's show, I want to talk to you guys about Smoked Honey, which is such an incredible company. We love Smoked Honey. If you like herbs, Smoked Honey's cartridges are a favorite amongst the Real Ass Podcast, Legion of Skanks, and Hold Gas Digital crew. They make the highest quality distillate products on the market. I'm going to tell you right now, they taste delicious. Get you super stoned. Look, listen. That's Smoked Honey. Right now, I'm higher than I was just a couple seconds ago. That is the magic of Smoked Honey, guys. You just heard it just now. You, too, can be getting Smoked Honey as well, because if you live in California or if you're going to be moving to California, they have it everywhere, guys. Southern California especially. But here's the cool thing. If they don't have it in your local dispensary, if they don't have it with your local delivery guy, I'm going to tell you right now, tell them that you want Smoked Honey. Smoked Honey is the shit. We are a fan of them. They're a fan of the network. They sponsored my fight. They sponsor so much cool stuff on this network and in podcasting and in comedy. If you guys smoke weed already, why not get higher quality, better tasting weed from people that love and support the same fucking comedy shows that you do? What? Are you crazy? Smoked Honey. S-M-O-K-E-D-H-O-N-E. Why? What does it spell? Smoked Honey. Let's get into the show.
Motherfuckers, it's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez.
We're from Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Why, hey, why is Dave Smith the first person on the screen with my name under him?
They go by, rank of importance.
Oh, my God. Oh, Shannon's not here.
It says your name under me like Google.
I'm not even framed properly. The fucking top of my head's up at the top of the screen. Dave's all, it's sloppy. I'm sloppy. Harrington.
I'm a little off center.
Harrington, he's a little off center. You can see a chair just in the background. Is that how Fox News looks? So you see a microphone coming into frame and then a fucking chair just lying off in the background?
The seat is saved for Elijah.
I'm sick of it, Harrington. No, you're going to have to physically move the chair. That's it. It's so much
doing
to
the
deal
best
with.
I can. There
well,
we go.
It's not you. It's I'm saying him. He should
I know,
be
but I feel like I could help
the
out
other
a little
microphone.
Bit.
Yeah, just fucking do it all, Harrington. You know, I root for Harrington in life. I really do every day. Yeah. And he makes it difficult. He makes it very difficult because he fails a lot.
Yeah. I root for Harrington to just die a peaceful death. Like maybe just a lot of pills, listen to his favorite album, just go out in a way that's nice.
Kind of likely. Calm. It's going to probably happen, to be honest with you.
Oh no, it'll be a violent end.
Mike, I feel like you should be... You know when they say, like, you learn from your mistakes? I feel like Mike should be a fucking genius. He should be like a human encyclopedia at this point. Because all he does is fuck up left and right. It's crazy. It's crazy. Are we not streaming? Is that why you got Bobby over your shoulder?
No, we're streaming. Everything's fine.
All right.
All right, look, great show plan today, guys. Real Ass Podcast, blop, blop, indeed. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. Zach D'Amico right now is not here. This is a special makeup episode. I got a couple episodes behind while I was on the road, which happens. I commit to doing 3 podcasts a week, guys. If I was committing to 1 a week, you know, you fuck up, it's not a big deal. 3 weeks a lot, all right? So I'm getting an extra one out. It is a Saturday night. I am joined by my brother in arms. You know him from the Legion of Skanks and the Part of the Problem podcast. One of the best people I know, future father. That's the truth for most people, most dudes.
But we're a little bit more sure with me.
Yeah, definitely happening, or, you know, knock on wood. At this point, it'd be a real tragedy. How far along is she?
She's over 7 months at this point. We got about 6 weeks to go.
The baby can come out now and just be fine.
Yeah, if my phone vibrates, I got to check.
No, that's the rule on the show.
Yeah, well.
That's the one show you don't check. You let her know. Be like, dude, I'm doing the Real Ass Podcast. Say, dude.
She's getting real ass.
Bro.
My advice, hold that shit in.
Niggy, don't get crazy and start dropping that baby. I got a fucking Real Ass Podcast today. We got an hour today to just talk shit, and I don't want the baby to come. We're going to get into the show. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened at the Comedy Store, which I did talk about with on the last show with the Mean Boys and Kim Congdon. But Dave Smith was there. Harrington was there. More perspective, I think, is always good on these things. I haven't even really talked to you guys that much about this. So I want to get your perspective on the whole situation. But Dave, you know, we did talk about it for a second. You're going to be a fucking, you're going to be a dad soon, dude.
Yeah. Well, I already feel like I'm your father, but now, legally speaking, I'm going to be responsible for a child. So, two kids in my life, plus your kid, three kids.
This is, it really is a big fucking time for you, dude. It really is. And I remember this time when B was pregnant with James. It's very surreal.
Yeah, it's just like that, but with more money coming in and a chick you don't hate.
That's true. I didn't hate her. She hated me.
Oh, yeah. All right. Sorry.
It was very surreal this time where you're waiting for it to happen and you're watching the clock like it's just like, please just come. Please come.
It's a very strange. The whole thing is like, even just to this point, it's an unbelievable experience. It's very surreal. It seems so like fucking magical. Like, you know, you're with your chick and you're like with a chick, like everybody's had, you know, like a girlfriend or whatever. And then it's like the fact that you guys can make a baby with nothing else except your bodies is really fucking trippy.
Yeah.
And watching the process where it fucking grows from being like, you know, like you go into these sonograms and you watch it from like nothing into now there's a baby inside your chick.
Yeah.
It's fucking, the whole thing's very, very weird, but it's really exciting. And I'm very, very excited.
You
terrified.
Should be. You should be. And it's, you know, you did get to live vicariously through me to a certain degree. I had never experienced being close.
I feel like
to somebody.
I almost fucked Kurt Metzger.
Yeah. You feel like you almost fucked B, to be honest.
Well, this is probably an awkward time.
But yeah.
I fucked B several times.
You know, it really is like, you don't even fucking know. You know, I've talked about this on this show for me, but it's true for you. All this waiting. It's so funny. You're like, please just come, please come, please come. And once the baby comes, you feel like, oh shit, finally. And then as soon as you walk out of the hospital, you realize like, no. It has all just started. This is the time that's not hard. You should be literally saying, let me push this off as much as possible. Because the more you want it to come, I'm telling you right now, that's when it's like, and don't get me wrong, you love having the baby, but you're going to not just like the idea of watching a movie, the idea of like just having your own time. Like now it's a little easier because James is five, but the next like 4 or 5 years of your life is committed to fucking that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot. And it's an interesting thing. Like, you know, someone said to me, I was talking to one of the fans, a guy who came out to one
talking
of the shows
into the
in
fan? LA. Like, I'm having a baby.
Luke, I am your father. was it one of the people who came out to our show in LA? It was after the stand-up show the first night. No one almost fist fought that night. And he was saying, he goes, you know, the worst thing about it is like it makes you into a hack when you have a kid. Because believe me, I could tell you what it's like to have a kid. And I'm just going to say the same generic thing that everybody fucking says. But it's the fucking truth. And everyone will say it, like changes your life. You don't get any sleep, like blah, 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 yeah. All these things. But there's almost something about it that even just the process so far, that just reminds you in a weird way what a hack you are. Like, just the fact that you're not special, you're just like everybody else. Mm. You're participating in the process. That's how every single person came
and
into being born.
And you also gave into, I got to put my dick in that pussy and come. Like you gave into that whole urge. You're not original.
It's the most unoriginal thing ever.
Everybody from fucking homeless people to rich people, black, white,
250,000 years.
Everyone gives into that fucking urge to go and fuck that pussy, except for gay dudes, but they still want to fuck.
Yeah, even them, but they figured it out.
I'm very excited for you, Dave Smith. I can't wait for your little baby girl to come in the world.
Well, thank you.
We should talk about this past weekend. We were just in LA at the Comedy Store. If you guys have been, you know, living under a rock in our world, I guess you didn't hear about this. But you know, me and Metzger, go listen to the entire history of fucking me and Metzger on. Podcast. Listen to Metzger anytime he's been on a podcast with me and the way that he's talked to me for years. So you'll sort of understand the tone of the relationship between me and Kurt Metzger. If you listen to old episodes of Legion of Skanks, he's just not a dude that has had a ton of respect for me. And you can't make people respect you. You know, that's not like that. I don't have the attitude of like, you have to respect me. No. I'm just, and I think a lot of people are, you know, I'm not like some beta bitch dude where if you disrespect me, I will let you get away with it. And depending on who it is, you know, it could escalate very quickly into a crazy thing. You know, it could escalate into a fist fight or a screaming match or whatever it is. It just sort of depends on, you know, a couple factors there, what the situation is, who the person is. But, you know.
Yeah. I was listening to to Kurt on Jeff Leach's podcast, and he went on there the next day and he talked about the whole thing. And it was kind of interesting because it really revealed like how much of a buffoon Kurt is, like how unaware he is about this shit. Because he actually said at one point, and the interesting thing was that he got emotional at one point where he was like, oh, like, you know, Lewis used to be my friend, and he's kind of like, you know, like emotional about that. Hmm. And I guess there is a little bit of emotion on your side too, because I think what a lot of it stemmed from was the fact that Kurt was a guy who I think me and you both comedically looked up to when we first started comedy. He was a guy who we thought was like one of like the best comics that was coming up. You used to book him on your shows all the time. He was a guy, when you first started comedy, you're in your early 20s and there's some guy who's in, you know, his late 20s or whatever, and he's like kind of, you know, like you're like, oh, this is the next guy to watch and he's really funny. And you kind of, you always as a comedian, you kind of want the approval of those guys who you think are really funny.
Of course.
And for the most part, me and you have gotten that from just about everybody. I mean, just, you know, the fucking Dave Attells of the world and the Colin Quinns and all these guys have all said, like, very nice things about us. You kind of get, and that means a lot to you, especially when you're a young comic. And Kurt was a guy who always showed both me and you a huge lack of respect. And to this day, that exists. And he said on the Jeff Leach thing, I actually couldn't believe he said this, and Jeff didn't really push him
on it. Hold that thought. I want to address what you kind of said there, and I agree completely. Because Kurt's a guy that I was a huge fan of. Somebody also that I, you know, I had a different type of, you know, I guess affinity toward, like, because I, you know, when I met Kurt Metzger, it was before I was a comic, we sold comedy club tickets on the street for one day together.
Right.
He came out, you know, we just smoked cigarettes on the same corner all day, and he just made me laugh. I made him laugh, and we just like, and then he was gone. He didn't come back for that job. He didn't sell a single ticket. I sold like fucking a bunch of tickets that day. It was just, I was very good at that job.
To be fair, Lewis threatened people into buying, but you know,
but then he disappeared. And then a couple years later,
Kurt would talk a lot of shit and then back down at the last minute. Can't sell comedy tickets that way.
A couple years later, you know, we ended up linking up again in the comedy scene, and Kurt Metzger was the guy who introduced me to Big J Okerson.
Right.
He was the guy who introduced me to Joe DeRosa, Nate Bargatze, a lot of these dudes a lot of these people that I'm friends with to this day, who are very important people in my life. So I always had like a thing where like I not only looked up to Kurt, but I sort of had I'm like an emotional kind of like psychopath. So that meant something to me.
Right.
I don't know how much it meant to Kurt. You know, watching the Jeff Leach podcast, apparently, you know, there's something there like where, you know, Kurt, you know, has some sort of different view on our relationship that I've never really been fucking aware of because he hasn't really made it apparent. But I don't think that Kurt was being disingenuous on the podcast. I think that he's such a fucking psycho that he started to replay the events and then started going like, ah, shit, I have been sort of shitty in a lot of ways.
Yeah, maybe
and this
that
is
was
a dude
it.
That not only looked up to me and put him on shows, you know, very much showed Kurt the respect. Before, people were saying Kurt Metzger is one of the best comics in the world. Me and you were saying Kurt Metzger was one of the best comics in the world. Same thing with Big J. These guys were young, young fucking comics. I'm talking about they were doing comedy for 5 years.
They had, I mean, when I'm not like exaggerating when I say this, they had a fraction of what me and you have right now.
Oh my
in
God.
Comedy.
Oh my
I mean,
God.
We just go that the fact that like we all like pay our bills and like make decent money off comedy, that we have tens of thousands of fans around
these
the country.
These guys were broke young
that
comics.
We're like selling out shows across the country. I mean, they didn't have any of this shit.
They
none
are
of
broke
this.
Young
yes,
comics.
Literally.
Who were considered talented. I didn't discover these fucking guys. People were working these guys already, but I was a guy where, you know, I would book college gigs or I would fucking get something on the road, and these were my go-to guys because I thought they were the fucking best, right? So it was like, yeah, Dave Attell and Patrice were the best, obviously. But I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, Big J and Kurt Metzger, they're like Dave Attell and Patrice of the next generation. You're like, I was a promoter before I was a comic back then. And now too. But I really, you know, I really fucking pushed these guys. So I had this kind of like fucking romantic version of what the relationship was and where it came from. And then
Lewis was more of a promoter back then, whereas now he's matured into an amateur MMA fighter. But you know,
like, full disclosure though, like when I'm, you know, we had that whole argument about the light, right? Like about Metzger lighting me in between one of these jokes. If you want me to be really honest, dude, half the reason I'm doing a joke is because Kurt Metzger's watching me and I want to show him that I'm good.
Right.
And that
right.
I've got, and I want him to
and
come
also,
up to me afterwards and go, dude, I'm hoping Kurt Metzger and Big J come up to me afterwards and go, dude, that's fucking awesome. That joke you're doing right now is like incredible. I'm waiting for that approval. So the extreme difference of not getting the approval, but hey, dumb Lewis, get the fuck off the stage. It's my time.
Right.
And you're just the fucking host. That's crazy.
And the fact that, and I think you'll agree with this, but that it wasn't just the fact that Kurt lit you. It was that you're like, this motherfucker has been disrespecting me for years.
Yes.
And he just disrespected me again. And it kind of boiled up to a tipping point.
And then I look out, there's a sea of Legion of Skanks t-shirts, which I've put so much into that show. We all bring something to the table with that show. But
Lewis actually brings the table. Like, there's no... The table, the microphones, everything that's needed for that.
Give him a guest attack. That's a fucking solid snipe.
Well, when Zach's not here, you know, someone's got
to... You not have the fucking thing pulled up? Fucking solid joke, Dave.
Yeah, but it just, you know, when the sound effect takes so long, it takes a little bit away from the moment.
Now he's got to edit. Tighten it up.
But no, I get what you're saying.
So I see him like, and then he stands up in the middle of a fucking room of people and flashes a light at me, and it's embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing.
Now, I wasn't there for this part of it. I don't know. I'm sure that there probably could have been a different way that you handled it. You are a guy who flies off the handle pretty quickly. So I'll admit that,
by the way. Because look, I made a joke on the Legion of Skanks podcast where when Metzger told the story on this latest episode of the show, I stood up and I was like, that's 100% accurate so far. And it wasn't 100% accurate.
You were also at a different place than, you know, you didn't really care about the story at that point. You were in a mode of like, yeah, that's accurate. And I got in your face. What, bitch? More where you were.
But I was making the point of, our versions of the story aren't far off, right? The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I was probably more aggressive than I thought I was being. It's not that I'm lying. I think my version, I was probably wearing it way more that I was upset than I thought I was.
Sure, Metzger, which is always the case with you. Even when you're in a good mood, you're wearing it that you're upset.
Yeah,
and you don't
I really
realize
do.
It.
I have an angry demeanor to me.
I've had lots of different people who know both of us ask me at different points, come up to me and be like, is Lewis like furious at me? And I'll be like, what? No. And it was like, I said hi to him and he just was pacing back and forth grunting. And I go, it's just Lewis being Lewis, man.
Yeah,
it's
I get a little crazy sometimes. Have you used Blue Chew, Dave?
No. Oh, yeah? It's great. Maybe I'll try it. I'll order some. First order's free, right?
You got to try Blue Chew, Dave. I'm going to tell you right now, Blue Chew, it is a chewable sexual enhancement pill for dudes. Same ingredient as Viagra or Cialis. So basically, dude, you'd fucking chew it. Nice and simple. You don't have to go to the drugstore or the doctor, because what you do is you go and you get a consultation online. They do it through their website. Super simple. Did it in 3 minutes. Okay. They give you the right prescription for you, and then they ship it directly to your house in discreet packaging. Discreet packaging. You think it's going to come in an erect penis-shaped envelope?
That would be pretty cool.
That would be great marketing. But no, they don't do it. It's a regular envelope, and you don't have to worry about your neighbors judging you. You don't have to worry about the mailman judging you or a male woman judging you. And also, there's nothing to be judged about. This isn't about having erectile dysfunction or not being able to perform in the bedroom. This is about making sex better for you. I'm telling you right now, it is better. I enjoy having sex more. My girlfriend enjoys having sex more with my more erect, larger boner. That is a fact. I don't want everyone to say my penis is
she told me, quote, for the first time ever it was not miserable.
Yes, she's like, Dave, he can finally almost compare to you, not completely, but you know, he's getting there. No, the reality is it makes sex better for me, it makes sex better for my girlfriend. So try it out, guys. The best part of all of this is you don't even have to pay for Blue Chew for the first time you try it. You get a free trial. You're just going to pay $5 shipping. $5, you get the best boner of your entire life. I'm going to tell you right now, go to bluechew.com. That is bluechew.com and use the promo code RAP. RAP is the promo code RAP, RAP. Get yourself a free sample of Blue Chew. See if you enjoy it. See if your chick enjoys it. See if your friends enjoy it. Why not? You guys can have a circle jerk. Show everyone who's got the bigger boner. You know, do you not want to enjoy circle jerking better?
For the sake of the ad, I'll just say yeah.
You do. I know,
yes,
you do.
Let's
BlueChew.com is the website, guys. Promo code RAP. Pay $5 shipping. Get a boner. All right, let's get back into it.
Let me just mention the point that I was bringing up before that I thought was, it was an amazing admission by Kurt Metzger about how disrespectful he is to both of us when he was on Jeff Leach's podcast. And also, I got to say, just an admission of what a cunt he is. That he goes, oh yeah, what is Lewis upset that I would interrupt him and Dave on the podcast because what I'm going to say is going to be funnier or more interesting than them? And you're like, wow, dude. So that really is, I mean, just drink that in for a second and realize how disrespectful it is for you to go, like, whatever I'm going to say is going to be funnier and more interesting than you. And it's hard for me to not respond with two things to it. Like, number one, the first part is like, Kurt, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
Like, what level do you think you're on? Do you know who we podcast with? We podcast with Joe Rogan, Sal Vulcano. I mean, people who are way bigger than you,
yeah.
Have millions of dollars, millions of fans, can't walk down the street without being stopped. None of them have the attitude,
yeah,
that I'll just interrupt what you
Michael
say.
Michael Che, who hosted the Emmys a couple months ago, will sit across from
and
us
we'll
and we'll
never
have
the attitude.
Never in a million
years. That what I'm going to say is necessarily going to be funnier. And it's like, Kurt, for you to fucking say this, like, by the way, we have more podcast fans than you do. We have more. And the other thing, you know, on top of that, is it's just like, really, Kurt? Is it necessary? Like, Kurt's a great stand-up comedian. I actually haven't seen Kurt do stand-up in years, but he's a super talented stand-up comedian. You go, Kurt, do you really think it's such a given that you're a better podcaster than Lewis? That you're a better podcaster than me?
No.
I mean, Kurt, we all went on Rogan's podcast. I've done it a few times. I was actually in pain for you,
yeah,
the last time I listened to you on that. It was literally the worst shit show I've ever seen on that podcast, and I've listened to a lot of them, where if you look at every single comment, Rogan actually had to stop Kurt at one point and go, Kurt, no one knows what you're saying.
Yeah.
This is like the ramblings of a psychotic person.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's hard for me to, you know, look, that doesn't necessarily mean I want to fight the guy, but it just goes like, I just don't really need to work with Kurt again.
Well, then it's
Kurt
also kind of like my reaction is kind of like, all right, dude, yeah, Metzger, you know, it's undeniable, dude. You're one of the best stand-ups working. I really believe that. And I would be, it would be inconsistent for me, you know, to not admit that and to, you know, say that I feel that
way.
That's the reality. And I said some things to Metzger and he was reading those text messages that we sent. You know, I was saying things to try to be venomous. You know, I don't think that I was off on some of the things I was saying. I think because I'm saying them in a more hurtful way than they needed to be said.
Sure.
You know, about, you know, whatever it was about him fucking, your friends want you to have an intervention and you know, you're not as good as, you know, fucking everyone thought you were going to be. These are sort of exaggerations, right? But no, the reality was people were fucking worried about Metzger for a while. They were legitimately worried.
Dude. Oh, there was intervention talk.
It was like, that's not a lie. You know, Metzger was considered to maybe be the I remember Patrice O'Neill at fucking Thanksgiving dinner. I remember at Thanksgiving dinner, and I remember I could tell it bothered Jay because Patrice said, he was like, dude, Kurt Metzger is going to be the next thing. And I could just see, I remember watching the guy who I looked up to the most in Big Jay.
And then Patrice looked over at Jay and he said, get me another beer, you fat little dick motherfucker. And I could see this look in Jay's eye. No one else could see it, but it bugged him.
It did. I could tell it bothered Jay. I could tell it bothered him when he said it, because I'm assuming Big Jay looked at Patrice similarly to how I'm looking at guys like Big Jay and Kurt. So any, you know, I know they can wrap their head around this, but Metzger is a fucking unbelievable talent in the stand-up world and an unbelievable writer. And I've written a couple things, I've worked on things with Metzger and you know, he's punched up things for me and I've sent him things and we've gone back and forth in writing projects. He's brilliant. He really, truly is. But I'll tell you right now, I'm a really good podcaster. This is sort of my world and what I do,
yeah,
and what I do really, really well. And I think, in my opinion, I think I do this better than most people in the world. So I start to get this little bit of a cockiness where he's like talking down to me and then he's going like, and I'll talk to you however I want. And I'm going like, what are you talking about? I'm better than you at this.
Yeah.
I have bigger shows than you have. I have a much larger platform. I do this on a professional level with people that are really, really good. I do it. Michael Bisping, who's a UFC champion.
Well, it gets to a thing like when he's going to say something like, oh, I'll just interrupt you because what I'm going to say is better. Like, I'm just on this level. It's like, dude, you know, that really bugged me when he said that. And the other thing he said on the Jeff Leach show that really fucking bugged me was that he goes, he called the Legion of Skanks podcast the Legion of Following Jay around.
Right.
And I know that that's how he, like, Kurt's stuck in this, like, 2006 mentality,
right,
of when we started this. And we're, like, in our early 20s and we're open micers and we're selling comedy club tickets or whatever. And you're just like, dude, look, first of all, just like you were saying, like, as a man, we're in different places. We're fucking adults. We're professionals. We have like a big fan base. We, you know, you're a father. I'm about to be a father. I'm just not in the place where I'm letting another man like look down at me like that and like be a cunt.
Especially
to me.
Just because
it's not going to happen.
Just because you write better jokes on stage than me.
Yeah, it's like I don't really give a shit.
That's the thing you have, you know. And that's
I mean, you're literally, you're a father, you're a business owner, you're a fucking, you know, a comedian, a broadcaster. It's like, I don't really give it. You can have this attitude. That's fine. I don't give a shit. And the other thing is for him to have the nerve to go like the legion of following Jay around. It's like, motherfucker, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't follow Jay around. Neither do you. We're fucking leaders in our own way in life.
Jay.
I literally don't return his phone calls. I love Jay. He's my brother, but I see Jay once a week at Legion of Skanks. We do a show together. Truthfully speaking, you're really the center of the show. I mean, more than anything else, you're like the character that's at the center of the show, and it's us kind of busting your balls and us all bringing stories in and doing over-the-top shit.
It's funny.
It's not as if... And I'm like a guy who's like, look... I'm like, really? Am I just following Jay? That's why I'm on CNN and Fox News, and I do part of the problem. It's like, that's Jay? That's me following Jay? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And if Dave tries to talk to Jay about politics, Jay will, like, tune him out. Like, that's not your path at all. Like, you know, you went on your own weird path. Nobody agrees with it, but you're not following Jay. I'll tell you that much.
But look, and the other thing that just is, it kind of provokes this reaction out of you, where I'd be happy to just be like, whatever, me and Kurt don't need to be good friends. That's fine. You do your thing. Best of luck. I'll go do my thing. Like, we're fine. But when you start saying shit like that, it's hard to not have a little bit of a reaction where you go, really, Kurt? Like, so we're like, we're just these nothings. Whatever you're going to say is funnier than us. And we're just the ones following Jay around, right? So you have all this talent. You started way before us. You're way better than us. But yet, the incident that happened with you and Lewis went down when you were opening for Jay, weren't you? So for all this fucking shit, you're so much better. Look where you are, bro. You're in the same spot. You're featuring for Big Jay, the gig I did 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So really, it's like, you know, by your own fucking logic, it's like, so you're a fucking failure then. Why am I supposed to show you all this fucking respect?
Yeah, and I agree.
Again,
this
is a little immature, but that's kind of how I react.
I'm getting it's intoxicating to kind of like defend myself more, because the reality is, me and Metzger, it's basically squashed, right? Metzger, you know, essentially he's apologized, and I'll talk a little bit about that as the show ends.
Well, good.
I'll tell you what happened there. So I don't want to sit here and just fucking trash Metzger the whole time. You know, but the reality is, like, you see, it's not just me. Like, even you, like, you have this attitude where you're like, yeah, dude, fuck this guy, because, you know, for the exact same reason. And also, a lot of people, you know, one of the things Metzger had brought, he brought up, I had come at him like that way three times, or two times previous. The first time was after...
That's just how Lewis shows love.
The first time he was on Legion of Skanks, the first time I came after him like that, it was the time after he was on Legion of Skanks. And he told me to shut the fuck up like two or three times on the show. And it was like over and over again.
And it wasn't like a ball busty of like thing. It's like genuinely looking at another man who's lesser than you and going, shut the fuck up.
Just shut up. And that's what he's talking about when he said I was going to say something funnier and more important and
you
better.
You shouldn't be interrupting me on this show. So you shouldn't be talking.
That's what he was talking about. Yeah. And that's the time that I approached him. And after the show, I said to him, I was like, dude, don't tell me to shut the fuck up on my show. This is my show. And then he started into, you're a Big Jay follower, it's not your show. And then I was like, okay, cool. Well, how about this? If you tell me to shut the fuck up again on my show, I'm going to punch you in the head. Now, that sounds extreme. I'm sorry, it does, but not really. I don't know. I have less respect for a man if he sits here, another man comes in, when you try to say something and says, shut the fuck up. And you don't say, tell me to shut the fuck up again and I'm going to punch you in the face, or make me shut the fuck up. If you don't say that, I'm not saying it's mature. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that you should act this way. I'm just telling you, deep down inside, me and every other man in that room have less respect for you.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Anybody can fucking wrap their head around that. You don't have to be a psychopath.
Everybody's got their line or their fucking limit.
I'm trying to be better.
I do think that it's like, yeah, you know, there's some dudes who maybe you could talk that way to, and there's some guys who you can't talk that way to. And like, I don't know. It just is what it is. Mm.
And you know, so his version of the events, you know. Let's bring everyone to the club, okay? This is sort of where you come into it this time, okay? I'm going to the Comedy Store. I'm setting up the show. We have an issue with the microphone. There's a microphone missing, and we got to, like, set it up. There's a line of people waiting to get into the show. And you were outside when this happened with Big Jay and Kim and a couple other people. As I was walking into the club, I see Kurt Metzger coming toward me. And the only words I heard him say were, flash you with a phone. And I saw his cell phone. And I was like, he's probably trying to bust my balls about this right now, but I'm still salty, right?
Well, and things were also left, like, the last things you said to each other was, like, him saying, I'm going to cave your head.
Yeah, he said,
you
come,
saying
come
you're
at
a piece
me, like,
of shit.
Yeah.
Pretty serious words were exchanged over text.
And also, I should say, Metzger, he omitted a lot of those fucking texts. So he's reading them. Also, I could just read Metzger's texts with a fucking buffoonish voice and read mine totally normal, and then it's the exact same thing. There's no we were both being psychopaths in those texts.
Sure.
That's just what happened, okay? But... You know, whatever. It is what it is. I don't care that he fucking read the text messages on the show. I shared his one text on social media. So whatever. What's fair is fair. I say, I'm just going to fucking ignore this guy. Let me ignore him because I don't want to get into a thing. I'm salty about it. I know it's not going to go anywhere good.
Yeah.
So I ignore him. And apparently this pisses him off because he goes over to you guys. And then what happens?
Well... And let me just say that I, just to preface this, because anybody who listens to Legion of Skanks or has heard me on this podcast before or pretty much is familiar with anything we do, I mean, I understand, like I said, the things that bugged me about Kurt, but I am not somebody who would not tell you you're completely wrong in this situation and then make fun of you being a fucking maniac. I've done that many times. In fact, that's what I want to do in just about every one of these situations. But I got to say, with this whole thing, I mean, Kurt was just completely in the wrong, at least for that day. For what happened that day. So you kind of, Kurt goes up to you and says, like, whatever he said to you, and you just basically ignore him and walk into the showroom. That's, I think, what I saw.
Yeah, exactly.
This was a little bit far. You literally just ignore him and walk by.
Didn't say a word, walked by.
And
just
Kurt
said,
comes over to me, Jay and Christine, and Kurt comes with his chick, and starts just losing his mind, just talking crazy shit about you. And Kurt... completely lied about this when he was on Jeff Leach's podcast. Like, not even misrepresented it. It's such a dramatic lie. He came over and said, and by the way, I talked to Jay on the phone too. Like, everybody there agrees Kurt was in the wrong. So he comes over and he's, now what he said on Jeff Leach's podcast was that he said, if Lewis gets in my face, I'm going to stab him. It's a pretty big difference. What he said is, if Lewis ignores me again like that, I'm going to stab him. Very different vibe. Not like, if he goes, if Lewis still has that attitude, I'm going to fucking stab him. And he starts talking shit, like crazy shit. Like, I mean, I can't, it's not like, fuck Lewis, he's a bitch. It's like, I'm going to fucking cave Lewis's face in. I'm going to stab him like his worthless piece of shit father got stabbed. I'm going to leave his kid an orphan the same way he's an orphan. And now this is in front of a line full of our people. It's to me, Lewis's brother, and his girlfriend is there. Now, this is in front of a lot of people, and my attitude as this is happening, and it's starting to bug me a little bit, but I'm kind of just like making fun of the situation at first, because it's kind of like, you know, you want to like not exactly get into a thing in front of like the people who are there to see your show. And also, I'm kind of in my face, I'm kind of like, hey, dude, you don't really need to take it to this level. Like, go, if you tell Lewis you want to fight, Lewis is going to start throwing punches with you. I know who Lewis is as a person. So this is kind of, but he said at one point, he's like, I'm going to fucking pull Lewis's eyeball out of his fucking head. And I went, I was like, it's a pretty tough technique to pull off in a fight. And then he goes, no, you don't understand. I'm going to take a pen and I'm going to fucking stab Lewis in the eyeball and pull it out. And I was like, of all the weapons, you choose pen?
And that's also, what you're going to go with? This also will be difficult.
You know, so I'm just kind of like trying to joke around, but he keeps talking shit and pretty wild shit. And I just,
now, by the way, I should also say, you know, they downplayed this to me in a major way. Even Kim downplayed it, and Kim definitely came in like a Puerto Rican fucking girlfriend. You know, she wanted to let me know this guy's talking shit. Loyal bitch.
Well, I downplayed it for sure. Yeah. Because I didn't really want to see you getting a thing. And I know you. I know the people involved in this. So at a certain point.
So real quick though, but if I would have known, I mean this, dude, if I would have known that he would have said, that he said, I'm going to leave your child fatherless. I know it would have gone.
Oh, yeah. And I know that,
like,
too.
If I don't know what it is. I was already so enraged. If he would have mentioned my fucking kid being fatherless, I'm telling you, like,
it would have gotten really bad.
It would have gotten. There's no way. No way. They would have held me back from him, and I would have been sneaky about it.
So
I would have acted calm.
Yeah.
Because I would have known
you would have been like trying
to
really hurt him. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have known what I would have needed to do in order to fucking get him, because I know the type of emotion that I get, because I already wanted to just fight him, you know? And that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get Kurt Metzger to fight me. I also should make it very clear, like, you know, he said that about, you know, stabbing me, even if it was in self defense. Sure. I don't know. Yeah. I was threatening him. I've never denied threatening Kurt or telling him I'm going to beat him up. I think that, you know, the reality is, if you're going to go that big, you got to be willing to fucking fight.
Well, this is what's crazy, right? So now I did at one point, I said, I just like looked at Annie because Kurt's like flipping out. He's smacking the fucking car, screaming out he's going to kill you, all the shit about your dad and your kid and all this fucking shit he's going to do. And I looked over at Annie at one point and I go, Annie, you know, Kurt doesn't have to do all this shit. I said, if he sees Lewis, he can say, fuck you, and it will be a fight. And just so you know, like, Lewis is going to fuck Kurt up. Mm. And I said this to Annie, and Kurt was right there when I said it. And I go, not only would, like, Lewis normally would have beaten Kurt up, and he's been training MMA for the last year. And Kurt starts screaming. He's like, I don't give a fuck about his fucking UFC training. I'm going to fucking stab him, like, blah, 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 all this shit. So Kurt, they get in the car, and they leave. And you come up. Now, as Lewis's brother, I know what's going to happen if I tell you, because he was also telling me to tell you. Mm. He goes, I'm going to leave his kid fatherless. Tell him. Tell him I fucking said that. And again, and that's when I turned to Annie and I was like, I don't need to tell him that. I could just tell him Kurt wants to fight and Lewis will fight Kurt. Yeah. Like, that's all it takes. So I saw you and I didn't tell you any of that because I just, you know, what I did was I just grabbed you and I go, look, dude, because you were already like furious once Kim told you Kurt was talking shit.
And by the way, I knew nothing of what Kurt was saying. I didn't know that Kurt, at that point, I didn't know that Kurt had threatened to stab me. All I knew,
no, I wasn't.
Kim said
Kurt's
screaming out there. He's talking crazy shit.
Yeah.
He's saying he wants to fight you. And then I just fucking beelined. So I didn't even know any
of
that.
Which any of us, to be honest, would be mad at our girlfriends if they didn't come let us know that that was going on in public.
Yeah.
Like, as so I grabbed Lewis and I go, Lewis, listen, just so you know, I was like, I'm going to do everything I can to stop you guys from fighting. Me and Jay are going to try to keep you guys apart. We're going to pull you guys off each other. If you get to each other, like, I don't want to see you get in a fight here. We're at a club. We work. Our fans are here. It's a show. All that shit. But I said to you, just so you know, I think Kurt's ready to fight. Like, I think Kurt might come out swinging. Because I felt it like almost an obligation just to let you know what I just saw and like where he's at in his head. Because there was no question in my mind, Kurt's ready to fight. I mean, you don't sit here and say, I'm going to
tell him,
like,
go tell him
that I'm going to leave his kid a fucking orphan. I'm going to stab you like your worthless piece of father. Like, you don't say things like that. No man says something
they're
like
ready
that
to fight.
Unless they're ready
this
to
is,
go.
Well,
you're trying to egg someone on into a
thing. Feel bad about this because this is that my version of that is we were out front and I'm trying to get Kurt to fight me because security is like not even holding me back. You and Jay were there and I'm not going to fight you guys to get them. I'm not going to be an animal and like. I'm trying to.
Right, you don't
want to
pick
on,
a fight; you're going to lose.
You know, I would have murdered both of you at the same time. At that point, I was so.
I mean, it would just be embarrassing for you to be on the ground, held down, while you're trying to get in a fight. This podcast is going to end with us fighting.
But I remember at one point, I'm like, and I don't even mean this. I think Andy's kind of hot, but I'm just like,
you're like, just saying what you can say to get it.
I'm like, Kurt, your girlfriend's fat. She's a fucking whore. Fight me! I was crazy.
Yeah, well, that's just basically. That's just trying to, hey, you know, I did a whole talk on part of the problem about the libertarian perspective on when it's okay to fight. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that people like you who aren't like a punk, you know, when you see someone like in Antifa and they come up and sucker punch someone or something like that. It's like when you almost like abide by these libertarian rules where you're like, I don't want to just punch a guy with his hands down. I want to entice you into me defending myself.
Yes.
So it's like this weird code. Anyway, I talked about that a bunch.
Metzger kind of talked about that. That was his sort of perspective as well, which is kind of funny. So what happened is it's two guys that are enticing and enticing and enticing. And it got to a point where it was like nuclear where
now,
like,
sure.
But I was legitimately at that point, once I heard what he had said, I didn't hear anything about my kid until the next day. But once I had heard he said he was going to stab me,
it's like,
that's when I was dead set on fighting Kurt Metzger that night. I was like, cool. In my head, this is the craziness in me. And by the way, people on Twitter and Reddit being like, dude, why are you going to be such a fucking tough guy? Why do you got to claim you're so tough? I'm not claiming I'm tough. I just did that whole Ellis Mania experience. I fought tough people. I fought people who fight, okay? I trained with people who fight. I did jiu-jitsu. I did Muay Thai. I sparred with people who knew how to fight. I know exactly how not tough I am.
Right.
I know exactly. I have a much different perspective now than I did then. In fact, much more so now. I thought it was tougher a year ago, without a doubt. 6 months ago, I thought it was way tougher than I think I am today, even though I am more able to handle myself in a physical confrontation probably by five times as much as I was 6 months ago.
Well,
like,
it's
substantially
something like,
more. But
like Socrates said something like, there's like a famous Socrates quote, but it's something like the truly like intelligent man knows how ignorant he is or something right. like that. It's like the more you know, the more aware you are of how little you know. Yes. You know, like there's something about
it's crazy,
that.
But it's a weird feeling of like lack of confidence.
Let me just say before we get from Kurt talking all that shit to the end outside, and this is what I genuinely feel a little bit bad about. I think I genuinely owe an apology to both you, Kurt, and the Comedy Store. And I said as much on my show as well, and I think Jay owes an apology too, is that we should not have had Kurt on our podcast. That was a bad idea. That was probably going to go to a bad place. I knew it was a bad idea, but you're in the moment, and Tony Hinchcliffe was kind of like egging it up. He's like, let's call Kurt. The whole crowd's like, call Kurt. And it's hard to be like, this will be really great radio if we move Lewis from this seat over here. So good.
You've listened back. But, are you not entertained? Say what want to fucking say.
No question.
You
it is
hit
a great.
Me, Kurt, whoever it is, you can hate Tony Hinchcliffe. I'm glad I got hit with a drink.
No.
Fuck off. It was a great show. One of the best podcasts of the year.
I'm just
Put
saying.
Put it out there, bitch.
I'm just saying. You don't want a physical thing at a club that we work from a business perspective. Not the content was great, but I'm just saying that's kind of my take. So I do feel bad about that element. And I thought Jay was the one who got hit in the face with the cup that you threw.
I think Jay blocked it and then it ricocheted off him and then hit
Tony. His face, which is really, you know, that sucks. But like a day later, it becomes pretty hilarious only because there was one other time where we were in an incident on Shiprock where a guy threw a glass of wine at me and it just covered Jay in the face.
It was a carafe of wine. So it was it was like a bowl-shaped glass and he tried to throw it at Jay.
He
tried to throw it at Dave because Dave's the smallest guy out of the three of us and it went around the bowl and fucking splashed in Jay's face who was next to him. Even me in the moment, I'm angry. I'm like, that's pretty funny.
That sucks, and you did apologize to Jay for that, you know. But look, so that happens.
I'm sorry that I can't throw. Now, I was trying to peg Kurt Metzger in the head with a plastic cup of whiskey, and I can't throw a baseball, much less a oddly shaped cup.
But I was actually—I got to say—I was I was really surprised in that moment because what became pretty clear, it was like Jay kind of got up and was like holding you back. And I came and I stood up and I looked over to Kurt and Kurt's just sitting in his chair. And then I kind of came over to like talk to you a little bit like, oh, let's not do this here. Or like, let's chill out. We're at a club. But I was really surprised because I was like, oh, shit. That was like the first time I saw it like in Kurt's eyes and shit where I was like, oh, Kurt doesn't want to fight. Mm. And I just couldn't believe. I don't know how else to say it. I couldn't believe the same guy I was listening to talk all that shit at the beginning was now when confronted by you. I mean, he actually said if you ignore him again, he's gonna cave your skull and he's gonna stab you.
But he was consistent.
He wasn't technically lying.
I paid extra attention to him.
But he and I gotta say, man, and I know you said like you don't want to shit on Kurt. Look, whatever. I don't really care. I have no real ill will toward Kurt. I thought he was disrespectful toward us on that podcast, and he's been disrespectful for a while. But it's like whatever. Go do your thing. Best of luck to Kurt. Still think he's a hilarious comedian. But I gotta say, it was such a fucking bitch move. I would say this about any guy who did what Kurt did that day. To come in talking shit like that, and then the guy who literally, you just said all the shit about his family, what you're gonna do to him, all this, and then the guy is like, come on, take a walk, Kurt, let's go, which you did. And he sat there with his chick behind four security guards, and it was just very obvious, did not want any piece of a physical confrontation. And it was, and this is ultimately what Kim fucking flipped out about. And I get why she did too. Because, you know, Kurt says on the show, when he was on Jeff Leach thing, he goes, and then Lewis's psycho girlfriend Kim, then she wants to fight Annie. It's like, no, listen, I was standing right there.
Tell
Here's
what happened, by the way. I want to see your perspective.
Here's what
Kim was drunk
happened.
As well.
This is what happened. So Kurt is now playing this thing where he's going like, Lewis is like, come on, faggot. Come walk down the block with me, faggot.
And by the
come
way,
on.
I can't not say faggot.
Yeah, no, it's the best.
I don't know what it, you know.
It's the best word in that situation.
I'm telling you right now, like, I know it's a bad word to say. Like, I'm trying to be venomous. I'm not, it's not about gay people. I'm trying to use a hurtful word.
Yeah, it's.
So
it's,
why is that off the table? Like, if you, like, you're,
well,
you're not allowed to use
not.
Hurtful words?
Yeah, you're supposed to beat people up and say nice things.
Well, it's crazy.
It.
It's, I mean, yeah, that's, so I'm trying to say a venomous
and
thing.
And it has nothing to do
if
with
I was going
the,
down
with
the street,
calling someone gay.
Going to a gay guy going like, yeah, faggot, get out of the neighborhood. Yeah, that's horrible. You should be fucking destroyed for that. Fuck you. If you're that guy going up and committing the equivalent of a verbal hate crime. You're going out there sure. and doing that. But if there's just some dude that you're trying to fucking hurt his feelings, yeah, call him a faggot. What do you want me to say? He's being a fucking faggot.
Yeah. No, look, I'm obviously on your side about that. Use whatever words you want. And you're just using the most hurtful word you can think of.
Of course.
But so you're sitting there and Kurt is sitting and he's doing this thing where he's going like, you know, like he's a little bit nervous, by the way, you can tell. And he's going like, oh, Lewis, the hate speech. Well, like kind of doing that. Like he's now, which by the way, I can completely understand if you did not come in saying you're going to leave someone's kid an orphan tonight. That I can, if someone just flips out and is a maniac and you stand behind security and you're like, yeah, dummy, I'm not going to fight you. I get that completely. Yeah. But what Kim started to get angry about is that he's playing it this way. Now, which I actually couldn't. It reminded me of watching the Rogan thing where I was hurting for Kurt. Mm. I actually couldn't believe when he was saying on Jeff Leach's podcast, he's like, I never realized how much power there was in that. How much power there was in just being like not getting mad and letting the other guy. It's like, you never realized how much power there was in being a bitch? Like literally, you never realized how much power there was in talking shit to someone and then standing behind security afraid of them and having security walk you to your car? I mean, I literally wouldn't be able to sleep that night if I talked that level of shit and then had security walk me to my car. But anyway, so Kim is just like, as he's like playing it like behind security, like, oh, I'm not, she goes, Kurt, you were talking all that shit before. What happened to that? What happened to you're going to kill Lewis? What happened to all that shit you were talking? And she starts talking shit. And then there's Annie
video,
goes.
By the way, there's a video. You can play it in a second because the video starts but right she after
goes,
the moment.
Now, Kurt tells the story. He goes, then she just throws Annie's glasses on the ground. It goes, well, here's what happened. And I saw this. Kurt, she goes, really, Kurt, after all that shit you talked, now you're just going to stand here. You're not doing anything. What happened? I thought you were going to kill Lewis. Like, what's going on?
He's right
now
there. Now he's right there. Kill him.
Yeah, she was kind of rooting for Kurt. But she's like, oh, what happened? I thought you were going to kill him, all this. And fucking Kurt's dumb girlfriend goes, shut up. Well, she's in the middle of this moment. Yeah. Goes, shut up. And she goes, what? And Kim walks over to her and takes the glasses off her face and threw them on the ground. And then she is just kind
she
of
goes,
like,
make me shut up.
She goes, make me shut up and threw her glasses on the ground. And then Annie, you know, goes and picks
hold on,
up
by the
her
way,
glasses.
You remember earlier in the show when I said if a man tells you to shut up, what you should say? Yeah, make me shut up, motherfucker. Yeah, my fucking chick reacted that way.
Well, it's look.
And real last dude of the week, Kim Congdon. Go. Hit it. I hate him.
He's a real ass dude. He's got bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
Real ass fucking dude of the week, Kim Congdon. For getting my back, let me explain you something. It's like family, people you fucking love. Like I said this about you, Dave, right? Because, you know, you're like my brother and you could show me a video of you committing a horrible crime.
I will after the show.
If you told me like, dude, that's not me in the video. I believe you and I would publicly catch your back and I would go, yeah, sorry, dude, Dave didn't do that. My brother fucking told me he didn't do it. Sorry. I don't know what you want me to tell you. You're strangers. This is fucking, you know, pressure from the fucking internet, pressure from my agents, whatever it is. Sorry. My brother told me he didn't fucking do that and I'm going to catch his back every fucking time. That's that. That's the way I am. Right. So my chick, she caught my fucking back, period. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Yeah, and
she
look,
caught my
it's
back,
like...
And she saw somebody being a fucking hypocrite, and she saw somebody being a fucking asshole, and also she's friends with everybody at the Comedy Store, and she saw somebody manipulating the situation and acting like they were the innocent one when, you know, Metzger came in, and he admitted this on Jeff Leach's podcast. He said the words. He was like, dude, I came in and I set it off that night. It was my action.
There's
that
no
made
question.
That.
I mean, that was the look. I hope you guys never get into a physical thing. I hope you guys work it out. I hope everybody works it out. This, you know, we're too old to be involved in this shit. It's fine. But you started off that night by being like, I'm going to ignore this and focus on putting my show together. Mm. And Kurt started it off by talking a level of shit that could only result in... to me, it's like, well, these two guys have to fight now. I don't know what else to say. Now, with the Annie thing, it's like, look, Kim could have handled it a different way, and that would have been fine too. Maybe some people would say, like, she should have handled it a different way. But I get why she said what she said. You were talking a bunch of shit to Lewis's girlfriend about him and then backing down from a confrontation. And when you're in a moment and you're heated and you're calling someone out and someone else turns to you and goes, shut up. It's pretty fucking disrespectful. Yeah. And the fact that and Kim didn't go over and punch her in the face. Kim went over and physically disrespected her to respond to that verbal disrespect. Yeah. I can't blame her for that. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, that's so.
If you're one of these people going like, oh, what type of fucking animal are you to fucking go and try to fight a guy for using words? It's like, I don't know, dude. It's a what line? I mean, where's your line?
Yeah, I mean, if you're,
where the fuck is your line? A guy says he's gonna fucking murder you and leave you your kid fatherless. What do you do? I mean, think about this. You're listening to the show right now. What do you do? A guy says, I'm gonna, now, I understand if you're afraid, fine, be afraid. That's okay.
That's fine.
Understand, go like, yeah, well, I'm not gonna go out there. I don't wanna leave my kid fatherless. So that's the immature side of me. Granted, I don't give, you can give Kurt Metzger a fucking knife and a bazooka. I don't think he's gonna beat me in a fight. I mean,
once you have the bazooka, I don't really think the knife is helping any. You need that other arm to operate the bazooka.
Do you? Do you have one arm bazooka? No.
Yeah, I guess so. Or maybe to load it or something. I have no idea. I don't really understand.
But you could fucking, I mean, it wasn't, I knew when I heard he was going to stab me, I was like, he's talking shit. You know, there wasn't any part of me that was going like, oh, this guy's trying to kill me. Now, here's what happened. Okay, that night, he ends up leaving. Okay, he gets in his car. That's that. I calm down. Yeah, I end up, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
The bazooka thing. So you're saying he left. We're going backward in time now after he talked shit and then left.
Yeah, so he fucking leaves and, oh, that's right. So then he texts me or I text him. And now he made this point on the on Jeff Leach's show that I was only showing part of the text messages.
Well, he only showed part of them.
Yeah, he only showed part of the text messages. He literally said at one point, he was like, oh, I don't want to talk about, you know, I don't want to talk about that thing right there or whatever. Now, to be honest with you, and I won't talk about that at all. What he's talking about is like really personal shit that I was like there for him with, right? Some personal shit that he was going through that he didn't want to bring up the show because I was his fucking boy and I was his friend. And that's sort of what made him emotional because he was looking back at these things. He was like, ah, shit, Lewis was actually a good fucking friend, being a good fucking dude to me. And that's kind of what got him to fucking think about all this and kind of assess the way that he was acting, you know? But I wasn't trying to hide the fact that I had threatened him. I mean, I had spent 2 hours on a podcast threatening. We had a chant going, jump Kurt Metzger, me and the fans. It got crazy. You listen to the show. There's no part of me that is pretending that I'm this innocent fucking victim that, oh my God, Kurt Metzger threatened to stab me. I have hours of me talking about how I want to beat up Kurt Metzger and how I said these words to him.
Yeah.
There's no part of me that's trying to present it that is that. You know, this is all out there. This is not stuff that I'm making up. Go listen to the shows. Go listen to the show after me and Metzger got into a thing 6 months ago in La Brea. Believe me, you will hear me saying, I want to fucking punch this guy in his face. I told him I want to punch him in his face, but I had texted him. I texted him that night and he read it on Jeff Leach's show. Here, let me just find it. Okay, so hold on. While I look for this text message, let me talk to you guys really quickly about one of our incredible sponsors. Harrington here. Find that text for me. Dime Bags is fucking awesome. Dave, have you gotten a dime bag yet? Do they sponsor your show?
I don't believe so.
Dog, you got to get them. You're not really smoking weed these days, but I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't even matter. The bags are just dope. Just dope, phenomenal, awesome bags. I have one that I travel with. I have a gym bag. I have a book bag that I use. They are unbelievably high quality, really, really nice. But the cool part is if you smoke weed, okay, they have their Omerta line, which is absolutely 100% smell proof. They use carbon filter technology, and it's basically high-tech smell proof technology. So if you are traveling around with a little bit of weed, if you got, but not just that, if you got smelly gym shoes, fuck it, right?
That I can relate to.
Yeah, you do. Dave, I mean, you don't go to the gym, but you have those shoes.
I have a foot odor problem.
They stink. No, but the bags themselves are really, really cool and very, very stylish. And if you're a fan of the show, support our sponsors. Go to dimebags.com right now. dimebags.com, spelled just like you think. They have so many different styles, so many different cool backpacks that you guys would love. This is a great, great gift for holiday season. If you have a pothead in your family, this is great. If you have somebody who has smelly feet in the family, this is great. Or if you just want a cool backpack, you don't even have to get the Omerta line. They have some amazing backpacks having nothing to do with being smell-proof. So here's the deal. Go right now to dimebags.com or click the link in the episode description and use the promo code RAP. You get 15% off your first order. Once again, that is dimebags.com. That is dimebags.com. Use the promo code RAP. You get yourself 15% off your first order. Great gift for the holidays. You know you want it. You know you love it. Dimebags.com is the website. Okay, let's get back into it. Play right now, guys. If you love the show, over 300 episodes available on demand right now, guys. 300 episodes available on demand at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP. Get yourself a 14-day free trial. Get your shows on demand 5 days early before they go to iTunes, ad-free, uncensored, live chat message boards, and more. Okay, so the thing that I had texted him, so he goes, he texted me, "You lost that," after it's all said and done, right?
Which is just crazy.
Just crazy in my mind.
I mean, like nobody thought, literally, I just know of all the people who were there. Nobody thought, yes, was Lewis hollering like a maniac? Sure. But the problem Kurt had was that a lot of people waiting on the line, me, Jay, Christine, Kim, a lot of the security, actually saw what he was saying earlier. And so what, you know, like if Kurt had never come back at you with that type of like that type of venom, he could absolutely have a leg to stand on by being like, yes, I did disrespect Lewis. Yes, I did light him, whatever that situation is, fine. But he was threatening me, and there's no reason to ever take it to a physical level. There's an argument there that he could have made.
Right.
But in that day, you didn't threaten him at all, and no. He came in saying the most heinous, vile shit you could say.
And that's, by the way, that's undeniable.
Kurt would acknowledge that.
Kurt did admit that. He did acknowledge that and admitted that. So he texted me, "Dude, you lost that." The next day I texted him, yeah, you're a bitch. You talk shit when there's someone between us, blah, blah, blah. Every time I see you, I'm going to try to smack you in your face, you bitch. Keep talking shit and hide behind other men. So I'm just fucking, I'm just venomous and I'm being aggressive. Now, his response was, ha, 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 ha. Honest to God, watching you make a fool of yourself like the fuckwit you are was so much better than sticking you like your worthless father.
He's really holding on to that line.
I'll talk to you any way I please.
It's a pretty solid line.
I talk to you any way I please, dipshit. So I took a screen grab of that and I posted that to social media. And I was like, and the real reason I was posting this was two reasons. Number one, I wanted to show everyone, I'm going to fuck this guy up and just understand he deserves it.
Right,
I just
wanted,
like,
right.
He's taking
like, I'm not the bully here. He's
like, fucking, he's being a fucking, like another cunt. I'm not trying to get him fired from work. I'm not fucking trying to get SJWs on him. I don't think that nobody's taking my side that's an SJW. This isn't a world where it's like, I'm just as fucking problematic as Kurt Matzgrammy, not as problematic in terms of the industry.
We get it. You're both rapists.
We're both awful people, okay? So there's no part of me that's going like I'm just showing everyone like, hey, this is a piece of shit. I'm going to fuck him up and just understand he deserves it because he's talking this type of shit now, okay? And he's saying this to me after he fucking ran away from me, which was absolutely crazy. The second part of it was Metzger dealt with so much shit on social media. It's really essentially what kind of, you know, I don't want to say ruined his career because he's still getting stuff. He's still working. He's an extremely talented comedian. But the social media shit that he got into online was what made his star stop shining. And what he has to sort of work hard to fucking build his reputation back because he said stupid shit on the internet. You know, instead of fucking just, you know, having, you know, being on a podcast and talking in a funny way where you can sort of defend it and go, yeah, well, I'm having an opinion, but I'm being funny and I'm being provocative. I'm having thoughts. You're putting it in writing for people to take out of context, and he got a lot of it. So he goes out and essentially destroys his opportunities to get a lot of gigs, and this isn't even shit that he knows about. It's shit that he doesn't hear about. You know, you don't know when people think you're problematic. They're like, right. Oh, yeah, we're just not going to put that guy on the show. That's that. So it's kind of made him go a little bit fucking bonkers, this whole fucking thing.
He's always been a little bit on the
edge.
He's
always been crazy, but now at this point, that thing, specifically social media and the attention that he got on social media for being a fucking shithead.
Right.
Was what fucking really... So I was like, yeah, dude, you want to cut deep? Because what he's doing is he's trying to cut really deep.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, I'll cut deep. Cool. Well, I'll just go post this to social media. And I know that's going to fucking irk you to your core.
Right.
I know it's going to bother you that there's people saying shit about you on the internet. I know it bothers you that it's public. When I talked about the situation in La Brea on a podcast, that was his whole point. It's like, why would you fucking talk about it on a podcast? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, dude, so now that's what bothers you? Cool. Well, you're trying to tell me you're going to leave my kid child or fatherless and you're going to stab me like my worthless deadbeat father? Well, now I'm going to try to be just as venomous.
Can I just point out for the record that you added deadbeat?
That's right.
No one ever said deadbeat. Now you're just getting your own anger at your father.
Your dirty, smelly dad. Worth nothing. But I was trying to bother him. I was trying to hurt him. By doing that, and I kind of feel bad about that because the reality is, you know, shit doesn't necessarily have to be aired out on social media. Look, it's all on podcasts. It's all public anyway, but at that point, you know, he's texting me shit. He's saying fucked up shit to me, and like, he's so crazy. I'm like, I'm not going to affect him by texting him something back. So I posted a quote from him. Oh, I'm going to cave Lewis's skull and then proceeds to hide from security. I was posting on social media, and I know it bothered him because he texted me a screen grab of the social media, thinking he was sending it to somebody else. Like, he accidentally sent it to me, being like, look, Lewis is just posting this now. And he was, it was meant for somebody else. So I know it's fucking bothering him. So then I'm like, oh yeah, cool. So that, you know, the whole thing is just kind of fucking dumb. I deleted all the posts. What happened was he ended up, and oh, by the way, it wasn't fucking, somebody put a, it was actually pretty funny. Somebody put a, they photoshopped me, my Twitter saying, I've contacted the authorities. I'm having Kurt Metzger arrested. Contacted my lawyer. I'm having him arrested. Fucking, yeah, I would, I mean, I'm threatening him. You cannot, I can't go to the authorities.
Forget that you genuinely assaulted him. Last night, like throwing a drink at somebody.
I assaulted Tony Hinchcliffe.
Oh yeah. Well, you attempted to assault him.
Arrest this man. Yeah. No, I didn't assault Kirk because didn't hit him. So.
Okay. Good point. Sorry. That? I stand.
But no. But yeah, I'm not an innocent bystander here. Right. Metzger was sort of playing this thing where like he was maybe from his perspective, I'm trying to play like this innocent bystander. No. Kirk, that's when I texted him at one point. I was like. Because he was like, you know, you threatened me for. I think he was worried because I posted the thing to social media about him stabbing me. I think he started going like, "Fuck, dude, I might get in like legal trouble for
this."
Right,
right.
Like in his head, he was like, "I can't stab stabbing people." So that's why he started saying a lot that it was self defense and that he was saying if he came to me, I think he was sort of angling to protect himself a little bit,
which is fine. But just like everybody there, like Kurt was not saying I'm going to defend myself if Lewis comes at me. He was talking shit. He wasn't. He's lying about that, which is, you know, fine. But that's, I'm telling you, I was there. It was in front of tons of witnesses.
So he goes, I'm not the one Instagramming selective portions of the text conversation. You're not going to threaten me into anything. Like I think he thinks I'm threatening him into something. And then I go, Kurt, I'm not threatening you into anything. There's no action I want you to take. I'm going to fuck you up. You should try and make me not think about you. I'm not telling you to not talk about this. I'm going to continue to talk about this on the very large platforms that I have available to me, but I'm warning you should probably block me and walk in the opposite direction if you see me. Good luck. This isn't like, I'm not going to do this.
Well, that was, I'll tell you, this was a couple things that Kurt said on Jeff Leach's podcast. It's just funny because look, truthfully speaking, I don't know that there's anybody in your life who knows you better than I do. I really don't know. I don't know if there's anybody who knows you better. You've literally been my best friend for about 15 years, maybe a little bit longer than that at this point. I know you in a different way than just about anybody else does. And to hear Kurt saying some of these things, like a couple things he said on the podcast, he goes, oh, this is in shape Lewis. Fat Lewis would have never talked to me that way. And it's like, no. Actually, Fat Lewis was probably more unhinged. Lewis is a little bit more like mature at this point than he was. I knew you know, through every phase of fat and thin, and like, no, that's just not true. And then he said at one point, he was like, oh, Lewis was just doing this as a show for the fans, so he can be a tough guy in front of the fans. It's like, nah, dude, Lewis wanted to fight you. That's why he said, come take a walk with me. He wasn't like trying to be like, this wasn't a show. It may have turned into a show, and you'll also make it a show on the podcast for sure.
Well, the first 2 hours of the podcast was a show. I knew what was going on
out front of the Comedy Store was not for the fans.
I didn't want to fight him at the Comedy Store. I told him, I was like, take a walk with me up the street. Let's go. Me and you, let's just go have a conversation. We're not going to, you know, it's not going to be people around. We don't got to get bouncers between us.
Yeah.
Let's just go. And once again, I got to be honest with you. I'm not defending that lifestyle. I'm not a thug. I'm not a guy that if I got into a fight with Kurt Metzger and I hit him and he went down, I wouldn't keep on kicking him in the face. I'm not that guy. You see people like that in the hood or in videos online. Like, I'm the type of guy where like you throw a punch and then you
get square.
That's
the closest I get to the hood, by the way, is videos.
But I'm saying like, you know, like when we got into fights as kids, and I haven't been into a fight in a while, okay? So people keep on going like, oh, Lewis, you're going to fucking, this is crazy. Your rage is out of control. I'm like, dude, look, I tell a lot of stories on the podcast where I get into arguments with cab drivers. You know, if you guys did 10 hours of podcasting a week and you needed to fucking come up with shit on the show.
Yeah, most of them don't have five fights with Ubers.
Every altercation, never Ubers, they have the paper trail.
no, you just had one with an Uber driver.
But every altercation you get in, especially considering the dynamic of the show, would sort of be used as fodder. Now, we could sit there, and Big J is a similar guy to me. Big J probably gets into 2 or 3 altercations a week. It's just not his thing on the show, and we don't make fun of him for being that guy. So I think there's almost a sense of me being a little more unhinged than I really am.
Well, look, I gotta
I get shitty with people, I think, quicker than other people would, especially if I'm paying you for a service and you disrespect me in any way. That's crazy. Yeah,
no, you're a maniac. But I can't grow with you down this path. I think you do have like legit anger issues that you should work on. I think that's been true about you since I've known you.
No, it's not true.
And okay. But I think it's kind of crazy that you get in these screaming matches with cab drivers and shit. However, I also just think there's like, you know, look, I completely understand. I've said this a lot before. I completely understand a guy who doesn't want to fight. I get that completely.
Yeah.
I get being an adult is probably a more mature, evolved perspective to just be like, yeah, I'm not going to get into a fucking fist fight. I'm an adult. That's fine. I get that. I get a guy who does want to fight. Not saying that's justified, but I understand it. I don't understand a guy who talks fighting words and then doesn't want to get into a fight. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And I don't understand doing that and then feeling like you won. That to me is very, very foreign.
So look, here's the way it all ended. Okay. Metzger hit me up and he said, you know, he goes, you know, hey, dude, you know, I'll paraphrase. I'm not going to read all the text messages. But he was just basically like, look, dude, I did that Jeff Leach podcast. He's like, he hasn't put it out yet. But it made me think a lot. He was like, there was a couple of moments where I got like choked up thinking about sort of our relationship and, you know, just sort of, you know, what this whole thing is. And, you know, essentially, you know, he apologized for a lot of it. I mean, you know, he's still in his own way, like, you know, looks at it as me, like, you know, coming at him with violence. I don't think he's recognizing the lead up to kind of the initial explosion or those little things that started setting off these little things. But he's recognizing, especially that night, you know, he's recognizing, you heard him when he talked about the podcast, he's reading the text about what he's saying to me. You can see he's saying the words and going like, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah, and well, and even fucking Jeff, who's sitting there, and I love Jeff, he's great, by the way. And even he was sitting there, he's like, okay, so you guys are both being assholes. Like, he was saying, okay, so you went there too.
Yeah.
So you got, because he was kind of playing this high horse, like, well, Lewis threatens me. And then it's like, yeah, but you're saying all these words, like, these are fighting words. These are not
It's just, you tell a guy to shut the fuck up to his face. It's just, I would expect, if I tell any man to shut the fuck up to his face, I would expect, in my opinion, maybe I'm just looking at myself. If I get to a point where I tell another man, shut the fuck up, I'm ready to fight him. I'm ready for his response to be, let's fight.
Yeah.
I'm just ready to that.
It's hard to almost go like, well, what do you, you know, it's like, it's easy to just make things black and white and go like, well, you don't use violence for words. It's like, okay, well, what if you're walking down the street with your girl and someone comes up and goes, oh, your girlfriend's a cunt. Mm-hmm. And you punch that guy in the face. Is it now? Maybe that should be illegal, and you should still be arrested.
Literally,
for that.
Every time I punched myself in the face, that was what the scenario was.
Yeah,
I called my girlfriend a cunt. I'm like, ah, dummy.
I don't talk to my girlfriend that way. But like, you know, it's like I understand. Like, maybe that should be illegal or whatever. But would you really look at that and be like, that guy's wrong? Like, he's wrong for doing that?
Yeah, it should definitely be illegal. I can justify doing a night in jail.
Well, what I said about it on my on part of the problem when I was talking about this from kind of the libertarian perspective is I go, that should be illegal, but if I'm on the jury, I'm voting not guilty. Like, it should be against the law, right. But if I'm the juror and that's the fucking story that gets told, it goes, yeah, not guilty. Sorry, I'm letting this guy off on that because I just get it. Now, I do think there is a fucking... You know, in anything, there is just a way that you kind of can't let yourself be treated. Now, maybe there's a different way to handle it. Maybe it's just like kick Kurt off the podcast. Go, he's not coming back on the show. I don't know. That's not you. You're not that guy. And Kurt, even though when he came on the podcast, he did not come in with the energy that he had earlier where he was talking all that wild shit. He did start doing this thing, and I was talking on the phone with Jay today about it, but Kurt right away started doing this thing where he just kind of comes in and it's just kind of that same dismissive. He goes, yeah, well, Lewis is a fucking idiot, so I don't need to fucking talk to him about that, so blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, dude, you can't start off talking this crazy shit and then come in just fucking disrespecting someone and think, like, this isn't going to be taken to the next level. It's just unreasonable.
So, all right, look, here's the thing. We're gonna.
I'm glad you guys at least like partially made up. I hope this never comes to a fucking fist fight. I hope you guys can like be cool. You know, I have whatever my problems are with Kurt. I'm never going to get in a fucking fist fight with him. It's just not important enough. And we have other shit in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and you know, but it is what it is.
Listen, we've squashed it. We've put it behind us. I'm not trying to fucking fist fight Kurt Metzger. I don't know that we'll ever be fucking boys, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that, you know, I from his perspective, I guess, like, you know, he's looking at like, oh, we're brothers. We're like, you know, I would have loved to feel that from Kurt Metzger for years. You know, that's the gayest sentence I've ever said in my entire life on
sure
the
was.
Show. But I mean, no, the reality is I would have loved if that would have been the Kurt's perspective. It's like, ah, dude, we're like boys like this. We're on another level. Like, I almost had that sort of, you know, version of it in my head. Like, oh, we were boys before I ever did comedy. Like, as a guy that I look up to, it's like, you know, we always had this stupid thing where there was this like lineage of comedians and we were like next in line. It's like, none of that shit's fucking real, right? Yeah. None of it's real. And Metzger, like a lot of comedians, you know, is really narcissistic, has his things in his own world. I'm the same way, dude. You know,
yeah.
I understand there might be people that fucking hate me in the world that are like, yeah, that guy's a piece of shit. He, you know, that guy fucking, I know for a fact there's people that are like that. I had a guy,
I'm right here.
I had a comic tell my sister who was working up at Levity Live, my sister works at Levity Live, and he was like, oh yeah, you're fucking, your brother's a dick. You know, I hate to say it, I just don't like that guy. He's kind of been a dick to me before. And I didn't know who the guy was.
Yeah.
And it was, the reality was, his version of me being a dick to him was, I didn't know who he was. That's why he thought I was being a dick, because I had done a show with him once, didn't remember because I have ADD, smoke a lot of fucking weed, I do 1,000 fucking shows a year. I walk away from him, don't think of who he is again, see him at another show, and I just don't say hi. I don't really say, I'm not, I also like, it's a weird thing, like I just fucking, I walk into a building, I'm not really cheerful saying hi to everybody, but I like ignored the guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't say hi either, but like, in his mind, that was like a big fucking,
like, you
like,
snubbed him.
I snubbed him, and then another time, I'm sure the next, I still didn't know who he was. He didn't say what's up. So it's like, then now I ignore him twice. Now he's counting. He's like, dude, I see this motherfucker 3 times. He looked me right in the face one time, you know, and yeah, it became like a whole thing in his mind. And I reached out to him. I was like, dude, I didn't fucking remember doing a show with you. I had no idea. I was like, I'm not trying to fucking snub anybody, dude. I'm just like, in my head, I got ADD. I smoke a lot of weed. I promise you, it has nothing to do with
yeah.
you. So look, I give Metzger the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't.
Well,
know that,
that was kind of, to me, what was kind of crazy about the moment where he just goes, he's like, yeah, do I fucking interrupt him? Because what I'm going to say is better and more interesting than them. It's like, he is like, that's why I said it. He's just kind of a doofus in that way. Like, he's just unaware of like how cunty and shitty that is, which is fine. My reaction to it is more or less, it's like, then we just don't need to do a show together. Like, we don't need to do a podcast together. That's fine. We can go our separate ways.
Yeah. Listen, thank you very much, Dave Smith. We're going to wrap this one up. You guys are great. Thanks for listening. Got a couple things coming up, guys. Luis J. Gomez presents LuisJGomez.com is the website. Nashville, I'm changing venues. I get into it on Monday. I'm fucking annoyed. You know, it's not. I'm not hating on Zanies. They're a great club. But
you're going to fist fight every crew.
They try to bump me to an earlier show. In like the fucking like 4 or 5 o'clock, because it was another chick who was. What the fuck is this?
Plug music?
What is this?
Eminem's Venom?
Oh. I didn't know what was going on just now. I thought it was a fucking mistake. Turn it off. I don't want the plug music. Turn it off. It's not good.
I feel like I want to listen to the lyrics.
Sound like a fucking mistake, dog. Yeah. I'm not hating. You know, they had a chick coming in who I guess their agent really pushed for the entire weekend, and they were like, would you mind if we change your time? I was like, I'm not doing a fucking 4 o'clock show. You're out of your mind. So I'm changing venues. I'm gonna honor the tickets that were sold. I think there was a handful of tickets already sold. So yeah, I'll be posting about that soon. Definitely by Monday, I'll be posting about the new venue in Nashville. But I'm going on tour right now. Chicago, Denver, I'm going to be announcing very, very soon. Washington, D.C., Seattle. What else coming up? Miami's coming up. Houston's coming up. A lot of amazing fucking cities. I'm telling you right now, I'm very excited about this special. Make sure you guys go to Luis J. Gomez Presents, LuisJGomez.com, and grab your motherfucking tickets. Okay, Boston's coming up as well. Long Island's coming up. I'm going to be out in Long Island. I got to post that up on the website as well. So a lot of great stuff, guys. Luis J. Gomez Presents, LuisJGomez.com. Make sure you check out Part of the Problem with Dave Absolutely. Smith. Legion of Skanks, obviously, every fucking Monday night. Great show this Monday night planned. So that's that. Thank you very much. We'll check you on Monday. We'll be right back. guys. Thanks for watching today's show. If you know, Gas Digital is home to 21 amazing podcasts, and we have some great, great, great new shows. One of them is Subway Creatures. You guys know the popular Instagram profile. Well, now they have a podcast with the Gas Digital Network. And you know what? Here's a clip.
Guys, let's jump right into the clip of the week.
Clip of the week.
Yes.
Let's do it. Clip of the week.
Sounds like it should be the Nickelodeon theme song. Clip, 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 Nickelodeon. Okay. This is really cute.
Now, Kim, Freddie, I tagged you guys. In this last week. Now, here's this situation going on here, okay? Right. It's the first day of school in Manhattan, mm-hmm. all right? Mm-hmm. All the kids are going back. Obviously, there's less room in the trains now. The trains are just as crazy now again with all the kids commuting at the same time.
God damn it.
Oh, I'm thinking someone forwarded this video to me. Now, it's what I'm assuming is a father combing his daughter's hair.
He's braiding it.
He's actually like cornrowing it.
Yeah. So I'm like,
which is impressive.
Yeah. So, and it's impressive because he's doing it on a moving train.
That's, and his parts look pretty good as well.
Like,
here's the thing. I used to get my hair braided, so I know how to break down braids. And like, his parts are pretty respectable. They're fairly straight. And he's cornrowing. Like, cornrowing is
on a moving train.
Like, the train is shaking and moving.
Bringing his two girls who are holding their backpacks to school.
They're so cute.
Now, I just thought, big ups to this dad for not only taking the girls to school in the morning, but being able to do this on a moving train. So I'm like, all right, this is one of those wholesome videos. I thought it was really nice.
Yeah.
Dude, I got messages.
I know.
Probably about 5 minutes after the post went up, just going off. It was feminist women. Why are we giving this guy credit? We don't get credit as mothers. We don't get credit.
You know what? I have something to say about like, that. I'm very excited.
I was gonna tap you on this one because I really want to ask you. Your thoughts are on this.
Okay, and I'll be the first to say I'm a proud feminist. I believe in equality. Like, you can ask anybody. My boyfriend runs a very, I would say it's not satire. It's sort of like, if you would think that I was a fan of this podcast, you would think I hate women. I like stand up. I go on the podcast and I'm the one that's like, no, it's biologically, men don't do this. It's crazy to be like, men are supposed to be fathers. Yes, you're supposed to get your kids ready for school. But like, men aren't the ones braiding hair.
No.
That's just not how it goes. It's like, if these same women that are going, we shouldn't have to do that, are the same ones that see a woman firefighter and make a post like, you go, girl. It's like, why did you make the post? Because it shouldn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, it shouldn't matter. Also, if so, it also is that the worst thing in the world to maybe boost the image that fathers should be doing this? Is it the worst thing in the world to be like, what a good dad, and then other dads be like, oh, maybe I should be helping out with my daughter's hair?
It's called positive reinforcement.
I agree with everything you just said. And Freddie, what I also wanted to talk to you about was, there's obviously there's a stereotype about black men being absent fathers and not, you know, a lot of the time not doing this type of stuff. God forbid we try to positive, you know, reinforcement, you know,
right.
And we get chastised for that as well.
Right. A man could be looking at that and be like, I should do my daughter's hair. That's what that post could have done.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, in media, like, what you put out is what's glorified. So, you know, it's good to put out positive images. It don't matter if you're supposed to be doing it or not. Like, even, you know, putting out positive images of mothers doing stuff or whatever the case may be. So people, like, see it and like, oh, that's cool. Everybody else is, you know, lauding that person for it. Maybe I should do it. And going to what Kim said about biology, with braiding hair, men's fingers are fatter than women's fingers. That's why women normally are braiding hair than men. Like, our hands are bigger just naturally in biology.
We just have more motherly instincts. It's just look at any animal. The mother takes care of the children. Look at any animal. Nobody's putting gender roles on animals. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's telling a duck, mothers do this and fathers do that. Mothers do that. But in nature, 85% of the time, the mothers are doing the motherly things
with the children.
The, it's just inside of us. So it's crazy to take this 2018 feminist agenda and be like, we shouldn't be rewarding men. It's like, well, you know what? I'm sorry to say it. Sometimes men need the reward and need the, like, the thing to see it also.
Right. And, you know, I think on so many different levels, this was what I had imagined as a positive video when, you know, Subway Creatures is known for a lot of the time some of the insane, crazy, fucked up shit.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, here's something that's wholesome. I do post those videos or photos, you know, a lot, but not as much as I probably should, because it doesn't happen as often, or it's not, I don't want to say it doesn't happen. I say it's not documented. Well, on a side note, I love what our producer Bobby said. He goes, I think that might be the lollipop/bottle liquor from the past videos that we've done. If we
just to forget it.
Who's the lollipop bottle
liquor? The guy braiding the hair?
The dad braiding the hair?
No, he said it looked like him.
If it was, that
changes the dynamic.
I would be furious in the comments next. Like, get those children away from that pervert.
Exactly. That changes the whole dynamic.
So then, oh my god, the headphones!
They got.
Oh my god, the beard, the wife beater. Whoa! Wait a minute. Hold the fuck on! Hold the fuck on! No, no. How do we know? Do we see this guy's shoes ever in the dad video?
I really don't want to take away from this video, so I don't want to dive into this too much. But
I'm looking. It looked like the bottle liquor. Look like the bottle liquor. He's a little more diesel, I think. I think he's a little more diesel, but it's close. He's close.
I mean, Kim's reaction said it all.
Wow. Hey.
Yeah, he's a little more diesel than him, I think.
But like, look at that beard, the bald head.
They look very close.
But you know what? Dad has some hair. This guy's headphones. Full bald.
I encourage those of you listening to go on the YouTube version of this.
We're all scared that's the same guy now. Oh my God. Invisible pussy liquor is good daddy. Oh my God.
I encourage anyone.
Well, I mean, if that is him, I know there's a lot of women like, oh yeah, I got to have him. He's licking some great vagina and he can braid some hair to move a train.
That's true.
Ooh, all you need is a good job and I'm in there.
Get you a man who does both.
What if his whole thing is he just does things on the train to attract women?
This guy's like, what can I do this week?
Every week he has a different thing. Like Next week he's going to be adopting puppies on the train.
Man. Next week you're going to be cooking in there. Cooking. He's going to bring a hot plate and cook crepes on the plane.
Hypothetically speaking, if it is him, this guy's kind of crushing it right now.
Right. Yeah. He's trying to have his OkCupid profile on
fire.
Because
if that is the case, he has now made it onto two videos of the week so far, and we're only in episode 6.
Right. That shows you how amazing.
Slow clap to you, sir.
Right. Shout out to
His name is Sexy Daddy. That's what we're naming him.
Daddy Bay.
Lick.
We should probably separate the licking and the braiding.
Right, yeah.
Licky Brady Daddy? Licky Brady Daddy?
Little girl braid licky?
Oh, no. No, don't throw little girl in it. No, no. Oh, no. We're going to have to throw tiger in it to separate things.
Oh, man. And right now, those feminists are just like, yeah, you see?
You see?
It's the guy who was licking the bottle.
He's a pervert. Men! My husband cheated on me. It's like, whoa, this has nothing to do. What?
Right.
Hey guys, I hope you really liked that clip. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere you find your podcasts.